Well, time is short. We still have half an hour.
This is a mute button.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on now, but I'm going to turn it on.
Let's turn to Luke, chapter 24. Well, you all know the story here, right? Concerning the two disciples, right? Verse 25, what the Lord said to them. Let's continue from 25, right, to 27.
Amen. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Beginning at Matthew.
No.
Matthew was not even written then.
Yeah.
Beginning when?
Moses.
Where?
Yeah.
Beginning at Moses. We all have to begin at Moses. Because really all the riches are already laid there as foundation. If you don't know how to use it, you're missing a lot of proofs in the Bible. God will never give us something that is not helpful to us. Remember what Paul says. Every scripture is the breath of God, inspired by God. Even Peter said what? In 2 Peter chapter 1, at the very end, he says, all the scriptures and all the prophecies were not given by men, but men of God moved by the Holy Spirit spoke. They spoke the word of God. You really need to see, and that is why it says no prophecies of any private interpretation. Don't try to interpret it your own way. Sorry. Don't do it. Learn to turn to the anointing. Some people may say, well, we all have the Spirit. That's true. But we all may not know our Spirit.
Yeah.
I've been serving the Lord for so many years. 50 years ago, I knew I have a Spirit, but I don't know what it is. How do I walk by it? To know that you have a Spirit is one thing, but to live and walk by the Spirit is totally another thing. Don't you know the word? Yeah, you know the word. Right? Do not lie. Don't you know? Right? Put on the old man, put on the new man. Don't you know? Right? Help me. You know, right? You do it. Sometimes. Why only sometimes? You already know, but why only sometimes? Well, because to really do it is one thing, right? Knowing it is one thing, doing it is another thing. It's not adequate just to know that you have a Spirit. Oh, we all have the Spirit, some people may say. I say, yeah, that's right, we all have the Spirit. But we are not all firstly renewed in our mind to know the Spirit. You all know the Spirit. The churches, the seven churches, don't you think they know they have a Spirit? Don't they have a spirit? Do they all hear the spirit? Unfortunately not. Otherwise, why did the Lord say, "And he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking"? Can you believe that some saints do not hear? No. You mean to say those who did not hear did not have the Spirit? Of course they do. Otherwise, they're all born again, okay? Assuming that everyone is born again in the churches. Right? But do you all hear the Spirit? The problem is not with the spirit. The problem is with your ears. You know, I have 2 ears. But my ear is not as sharp as Sarah's. Because I'm 72 now. And she is not even 27. She's 18. So her ears are sharper than mine. Right? So, hey. Oh, yeah. Jasmine's ears. Even sharper. Every scratch, every squeak, and everything, she hears it. But for me, I didn't hear anything. So, it depends. You want to hear the Spirit, you need to have a softened heart.
Amen.
That's why Hebrews says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. If you harden your heart, you cannot hear. I don't care if you have a Spirit, you don't have a Spirit. Right. So, it's not a matter of, don't we all have a Spirit? Of course we do. But what can I say, right? So we don't need to argue about that, but you really need to see. So the Lord really opened their eyes, beginning from Moses. Verse 25, "Oh foolish ones." Can you imagine the Lord says they're foolish? Why? Why are they foolish? Because they have been reading the scriptures, they know the scriptures. And yet, they are very slow of heart to believe. You know, we, the fallen human beings, our heart is very slow to believe the truth, but we are very fast to believe the lies. Are you like that? If somebody gossips and tells you negative things, you say, what, really? Oh, yeah, really, oh, yeah, my goodness, how come? Terrible. But if somebody tells you the truth, the first word that comes up, "I don't believe it." But if somebody tells you lies, why do you believe it? Without questioning. Because you got a negative ear. Usually we have a negative and a positive pole. But you got 2 negative poles. You cannot discern anymore. And no discernment because we are fallen. Our mind is fallen. We are not objective. Remember that. I don't care how many years you have been a Christian. You can be a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Your ear still has a tendency to believe in lies. I know that. I've experienced that too long and too much What do you think? All the people of God, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, they believed in the lies of the chief priests and the elders and Pharisees and scribes. And they will not believe in the truth spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You think we are not like this today? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now let me ask you, you want to enter into the glory?
Yes.
Yeah. Why? Surfing into glory. No. Surf into the glory. No. With the wave of this world. You serve into glory. Serve into glory. How about that? What is the truth? You suffered into glory. Not surf into glory, but suffer into glory. Yes. You should listen carefully. Not S-U-R-F. S-U-F-F.
E-R.
E-R. The R comes later. You don't surf into glory. You suffer into glory. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And even the apostles, in the book of Acts, Paul and Peter and James and all of the apostles, they used the Holy Scriptures. At that time, there is no master to Revelation. They used the Holy Scriptures to prove to people that Christ is the Messiah. They used Psalms. They used the five books of Moses. They used all the prophets to prove that the Lord Jesus is indeed the Messiah. You have to learn to use the Holy Scriptures in order to prove to people that Christ is really the Messiah. If you don't use the Scriptures, then you don't know. Right? So, you can really see, even later on, the Lord told them here, right, verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in
the law of Moses."
Are you sure?
Yes, it is written.
"And the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." May the Lord really open our eyes. The five books of Moses, they are the very foundation of the Holy Scriptures. And the Psalms are more prophecies concerning Christ, in details concerning the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the prophets, in all of their speaking, they all spoke about Christ. If you ask Isaiah, what are you talking about? Isaiah will say Christ. You ask Jeremiah, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Christ. If you ask Zechariah will say, well, read for yourself. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Christ. Right. You ask all the prophets, they will tell you what they're talking about. So the Lord said here, they are talking about Christ. So, back to Genesis. You can really see the whole book of Genesis is talking about Christ. Even the blessing. Right. This talking about Christ. How about Israel? It's nothing to do with us. What are we today? Are you American or are you a Jew?
We are the real Jews.
You're a real Jew, right? Are we the Israel?
Yes.
Or in Palestine, they are the real Israel? We are the real Israel of God. How about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What do they represent? What is the scriptures talking about Abraham? How about Abraham offering up Isaac? What about Isaac, born of the promise? What does it tell you? Have you read in Galatians? We who are baptized into Christ, we are like Isaac. Amen. Who is the real Isaac?
Christ.
Christ. And who is the real Abraham?
The Father.
Who offered up his only begotten Son to us. And when was the gospel preached? Who heard the first gospel? The gospel was already preached to Abraham. Galatians said that very clearly. Have you not read? So, if you don't know Genesis, you will not understand Galatians. Right? How many Jerusalems are there? How about Sarah and Hagar? What does this two talk about? What about Sarah? Who is Sarah? And who is Hagar? How about Ishmael? What about Isaac? What about Esau? What about Jacob? Everything is there. My, even the heavenly Jerusalem was already mentioned there. Who is your mother?
No.
Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. Of course, she is the physical mother.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about the physical mother. I'm talking about the spiritual mother. Yeah. Jerusalem above. Mm-hmm. Wow, how wonderful. You think all those are just stories made up by Moses? Poor Moses. What is he talking about? You want to throw away Genesis? If you throw away Genesis, you throw away the whole Bible. Because everything is based upon these five books of Moses. What about the promise, God's promise to Abraham? You think that is not important? So, you all need to see, my, how wonderful. And then we come to Exodus right now. How about Exodus? Right. First of all, who is this wonderful God? You have to know this wonderful name of the wonderful God. And by the way, who is Moses? Who is our Moses? Moses is over. We don't have any more Moses today.
The Lord is our Moses.
The Lord is our Moses. Where is it written?
Hebrews.
Ah, Hebrews chapter 3. Right. But Moses is just a picture of this wonderful Christ. Christ is the real Moses who is faithful over God's house, whose house we are. Who can be more faithful than Moses? Moses is a figure of this wonderful Christ. So, hey, the whole book of Exodus is so wonderful. If you don't know Exodus and you don't throw it away, like I mentioned this morning, how are you going to tell people and explain to people concerning Christ being your Passover?
Impossible.
Without Exodus. Right? Suppose somebody asks you, Toby, what is Paul talking about? Christ, our Passover, has been slain. What is that? Passover. Passover what? Overpass. What is Passover? How are you going to explain that? No, you can't use Exodus. That's Moses. It's passé. It's for by. It's over.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that. Well, you have to explain. You think you life today, your life today is irrelevant from Exodus coming out of Egypt. No more Pharaoh today. Well, what is Egypt to talk about? The world. And who saved you out of the world? What is the church? Ecclesia means. Isn't it coming out? Of what? Of Egypt. Into where? Just coming out into the wilderness? And what about crossing the Red Sea? Where is it written crossing the Red Sea is talking about baptism? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Come on, brother. I thought we all have a mind. You see, it's not enough just to have a mind. You have to have a trained, renewed mind. Right. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant. I do not want you to be unaware. Some translation is the word ignorant. That all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. Paul, what are you talking about? Passing through the sea. Have you passed through the sea? What sea? What sea? Red Sea? Oh, that's in the Old Testament. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. My goodness. Going through the Red Sea is baptism? So if I ask you, have you gone through the Red Sea, what are you going to say?
Yes.
You saw the Red Sea parted? And who got buried there in the Red Sea? And where were you? After they passed through, they just went to the other side? They were baptized into what? Moses! Come on! You read it. Right? And who is Moses here? That's Exodus. And they all ate the same spiritual food. What is this spiritual food? Manna! Really? And who is manna? Or what is manna? Manhu? Manna. What is manna? Who is this manna? The Lord Jesus says, I am the true bread from heaven. So how are you going to explain that the Lord is a bread from heaven if you don't use the eating of the manna in the Bible? And they all drank the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was?
Christ.
Who was that rock?
Christ.
Are you sure? Based upon what did Paul say this? Must be from Moses. Nobody else, not from Isaiah. But with most of them, with all of them, God was very well pleased. You mean to say after you're baptized in Moses, God was not pleased with them? For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things have nothing to do with us. What did the Bible say?
Our example.
Our example.
Huh? These things became our example.
No, come on. Nothing to do with us. These things became our example. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. Oh, wow. You think we can become idolaters? As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Right. Etc., etc. Let's jump to verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as example. For whom?
For us.
For our admonition.
Yes. And they were written for our admonition. Upon whom the ends of these ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Really wonderful.
Amen.
So don't think that the Torah, the instructions, the law, the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses have nothing to do with you and I, with you and me today. No, it has much to do. So, I advise you all to read it many times so that you will not become like them. Because they are written as examples for you to admonish you. Meaning to say, how God dealt with them at that time, He is going to deal with you. It's no different. So Exodus is important. Eating the lamb is important. The Passover feast. Eating the unleavened bread is important. Eating the herbs is important. Crossing the Red Sea is important. Following the pillar of fire at night and pillar of clouds during the day. You think we don't have that today? Crossing the Red Sea, baptized into Christ. Don't think that is not important. And then they went on in the wilderness and they were in Mount Sinai. Using the law, God has given Moses the law. The law is not important for you. The Lord says, I came to abolish the law. What did he say? That today we are not under the law does not mean that you are lawless. That you are no longer, I am no longer under the law, meaning to say God does not deal with us anymore according to the law. But it does not mean that I can be lawless. You're not under the law anymore, right? Right? So can you steal now? Well, you're free. You're not under the law anymore. You're free. Free to what? To steal? Free to kill? Free to covet? Free to hate your parents? Free to lie? Are you free now? Well, you're free from the law. Right? So you can lie now, right? Don't understand the scriptures according to your own way. Remember, you still have the flesh. If you're just spirit, that's something else. But you still have the fallen flesh. You mean to say you cannot lie anymore? You don't hate anymore? You're not proud anymore? You don't kill anymore? Committing adultery? How many Christians today are still doing that? Only if you walk according to the Spirit, then you're no longer under the law. But if you are still living in the flesh, you need the law. How many people are preaching the gospel and ended up sitting in prison? So, do not understand the Bible in a natural way. The law can only be fulfilled in those who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Where is it written? Romans 8. That the righteous requirements of the law will be fulfilled in those who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Don't you love the law? Is the law really bad? The law is holy and good. Paul said that. And what is the summary of the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And then thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that good? You don't want to be under the law? You don't love the law? I love the law. But that doesn't mean that I'm lawful. I appreciate the law. Right? Remember, Christ is the end of the law. It does not mean that now you're free to do whatever you want to do. My, so you can really see the law is really there for us. It's a safeguard. It's a safeguard. Without the law, this country will be unsafe to live. Right? Don't go to Syria right now. Because there's no law there. You might lose your head. Right? So, may the Lord really strengthen us to see. Actually, the law is very positive. But Paul says in 1 Timothy, the law is only written for the the law is written for the lawless. That means those who live according to the flesh. But if you have the fruit of the Spirit, then you're no longer under the law. But if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit and you're still lying, stealing, killing, hating, you're quarreling, you're fighting, you're wild and all that, well, you better have the law. Then that means you're still under the law. Because the law is written for those who are in the flesh. You're only free from the law if you walk and live by the Spirit. If you're happy all the time, not lying, friendly, endurance, long suffering, self-control, and all these, do you need the law? No, you don't. But those are the fruit of the Spirit, meaning to say, if you walk by the Spirit. So the law is, in a way, positive. Remember, the Lord says, the Lord said, I didn't come to abolish, I come to fulfill. Firstly, he fulfilled it. Then he will fulfill it in you by the Spirit. And then the ordinances. What about the ordinances? But that's in Leviticus. We'll come to that. Now, the law was given. If you continue to read in Exodus 25, talking about the building of the tabernacle to the end. Wow, you think you don't need that? Let me tell you, if you don't know, beginning from chapter 25 all the way, the wonderful tabernacle, how are you going to build a church? Outer court, the holy place, the holy of holies. That has nothing to do with us anymore. Then why did Paul says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, let us what? Enter into the meeting hall. With full assurance of faith. Did you come here this morning to the meeting hall with full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience by the blood of Jesus Christ through the veil? You just run into the hall. Don't think that's just the earthly tabernacle. Hebrews 9 says no, it is a copy of the heavenly tabernacle.
Amen.
Without that heavenly one, you don't have an earthly one. It's not your design or my design. It's not Moses' design. God is the architect and the builder. And by the way, going back to Genesis, Abraham already was waiting for that heavenly city. Everything is there. What about the golden lampstand? No more golden lampstand? What about the bread, the showbread? What about the incense altar? What about the veil? What does the veil stand for? The flesh of your flesh? The Lord's flesh. What about the throne of grace? No more. The ark of covenant? No more. No more. Forget about the ark. No more? Tell me. Who is the ark? Where is the throne of grace? Did not Hebrews 4 says we have to come with boldness before the throne of grace to do what? To receive grace for timely need. Everything written there has a wonderful reality in the New Testament. And everything written in the New Testament is based upon what is written in the Torah. If you want to be a theologian, be a right one. And Paul says, concerning which we have a lot of things to say.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And where was Paul going to get all the information from? If not from Moses. We all have to be thankful for Moses. Right. So may the Lord open our eyes to really see the whole tabernacle. What about the anointing oil in Exodus 30? No more anointing. How do you explain the anointing to people? What is the anointing? Oh, Christ is the anointing. Oh, Christ. Yeah, but what is that? Why is he called the anointing? How are you going to explain to people? Huh? Tell me. Toby, how are you going to explain the anointing to the students at the university? Is it the first time mentioned there in 1 John? Chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. Oh, you better remember those verses. How are you going to explain to them? You go to Exodus. You have to know all the ingredients of this wonderful anointing oil and how they are mixed and how many shekels of each of those wonderful ingredients. If not, how are you going to explain? And how is the anointing used? Oh, to anoint the flesh? How come you says you are of the spirit but you are so fleshly? It's all written. By whom? No wonder they hate Moses. What's so wrong about Moses? I love Moses. I love Moses. Don't you love Moses? I love Moses. Why? Why do you love Moses? Because he talks about the law? No, he talks about Christ. So many wonderful things concerning Christ. You will not know if you do not know Moses. One day you see Moses, you have to say, Moses, oh, finally I see you. Wow, I really enjoy your writing concerning Christ. Yeah. You all need to learn to see the glory of Christ, the glorious image. Amen. So that you will go from glory to glory. Amen. Transformed by the Spirit. Amen. You don't care about the Word, then that means the Holy Spirit cannot do that work in you. The whole book of Exodus was so wonderful. Was really so wonderful. Well, what about the rest? What about Leviticus? Oh, I don't know too many people who love Leviticus. I don't know. Do you like to read Leviticus?
Up until recently, no.
Up until recently, no. I'm glad you changed your mind. Leviticus is really so wonderful. Oh, beginning with all the offerings, because now that a tabernacle is set up, what do you do in the tabernacle? You offer the sacrifices. Sorry, you don't like it? It's your problem. But I cannot imagine the tabernacle without offering sacrifices. That's the first thing you do when you enter into the tabernacle, is you see the big oven there, grill. It's a heavenly grill. You bring your beef, you bring your leg of lambs, and you bring your... there's a big grill right there, designed by God. Because God wants to have his food.
Amen.
What is the most important part of your house?
In the kitchen. No.
Better be the kitchen, not the bedroom. The kitchen. Right? The kitchen is very important. I like American houses because they have big kitchen. Right. Wow, the kitchen. How wonderful. Right. And what is the most important part in the tabernacle in God's house? Right. So we need to see this. That's why the first thing mentioned in Leviticus, which is for the priest in their services, is what? You need to understand this. Whether you like it or you don't like it, it's up to you. But I heard so many people saying, why do you have to mention the offerings? Well, I didn't mention the offerings. Moses did. You know? And where did Moses get that idea? Well, from God. Right? If I invite you for dinner, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what would you like to eat? Why don't you ask the father what he wants to eat? You want to offer sauerkraut to the father. I don't see that in the heavenly menu. What about Eisbein? Don't offer up the leg of a pig to the father. Don't do that. And don't bring an old goat. The father doesn't want an old goat. You want to bring a lamb, you want to bring a perfect lamb. A young 1 year old, not more, not older. Does it tell you something? You want to bring old lamb to the Father? You want to do that? A lamb with only one eye? And missing a tail? It must be a lamb without blemish. That means God only wants the best from you. You think, oh, I can bring anything to God. Where is it written? I invite you to my home to have dinner, and we warmed up food that we put away 3 months ago. And I said to you, guten Appetit. Bon Appetit. What would you say? Why don't we learn to give the Father what He wants?
Amen.
Well, the first thing Leviticus tells us, because these are for the Levites, okay? These are for the priests. These are the rules that God wants us. You don't want it. It's up to you. So many things in Leviticus that are so important concerning the feast, concerning how to keep the Sabbath properly, what to do. So many things, the instructions. That's why it's called Torah. Don't think that these instructions are not valid for us today. Yes, they are very valid, except not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. You need to follow the rule. Christ is our burnt offering. Christ is our meal offering, the fine, wonderful humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the peace offering, the wave, the heave offering. Christ is the sin offering, the trespass offering. All of these wonderful offerings that God told Moses very, very seriously, tell and remind the priests. to bring me my food at the appointed time.
Amen.
And no one should come empty-handed. You have to learn this. You don't learn this, etc. So many other points in the Torah. What about John 3:15? What did the Lord say? As Moses lifted up the flag. Lifted up what? Even the brass serpent is a wonderful type of Christ. A very wonderful type that through death he destroyed him who has the power of death, Satan. Don't tell me that is not important. Every sentence, everything written points to Christ. So many wonderful things, including all the negative things. It's to warn us not to be like them. Stiff-necked people. Are you not stiff-necked? Yep. We are all stiff-necked people. Rebellious. So may the Lord really help us. Right. If you want to learn about a priesthood, you have to go and read everything about priesthood. You think the priestly garment has nothing to do with you? To put on Christ? You think the way we dress today is okay? You can just wear anything? Why don't you come with your beach suit and to the meeting? Not appropriate. Learn that. You are meeting with a living God. The priest, when they come to serve, they have to put layers of priestly garment covered from top to toe. Even the Lord, as a great heavenly high priest, has to wear that. And we claim we are the priest and come in pajamas. Do we dare to appear before the God of glory? So, we all need to learn. Don't think everything's written there, it does not apply to me anymore. Huh? Not apply to you, not apply to me, then why read the Bible? Then might as well just carry a few things that is your favorite. What is your favorite? Huh? What is your favorite?
Genesis through
Malachi. Huh?
Genesis through Malachi.
You mean to say you don't want the New Testament anymore?
Scriptures.
Every word of God is God. God breathes. The breath of God.
Oh Lord.
We need to take heed. I hope that before he comes,
yeah,
you and I would have practiced almost everything written in this Bible. May we all live according to the will of God. When the Lord came to this earth, he fulfilled every word. And so before the Lord comes, he gave us so many years of time. May we all learn to fulfill the word of God.
Amen.
To do the will of the Father in the heavens.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Learn to appreciate every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by some words.
Every word.
A few words. Most of the words. Some don't apply to us. What did the Lord say?
Every word.
Praise the Lord. From Genesis all the way to Revelation. Every word applied. One day you will see this. Amen. Okay.